Well, first off, I want to thank you all and the elders of the church for inviting me to come and preach this morning. What a privilege it is to open God's Word to you. Secondly, I want to apologize in some manner for all the military illustrations that I'll be using. Mostly because I think to use these is because we are picking up with Joshua, the commander of the Lord's army, as he goes in conquest of the land. And so now I invite you to open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We'll be reading 1 through verse 9. That's found on page 226 of the Bibles provided for you. Here we pick up God's people post-Exodus. They've been saved from their captivity in Egypt. They've been given the law of God on Mount Sinai and were poised to take the land, but yet they fell into unbelief and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now Joshua, with Moses, has died, stands at the edge of the Jordan River, and receives this commission from the Lord. So give your attention to God's holy word. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I have promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, as we delve into your word, as we hear of the commission that you give to Joshua, and Lord, that you give to our lives, we pray that you would use your word to strengthen us in the kingdom work that you've set before us. Lord, that you would change our hearts and our minds to think the thoughts after Christ and live a life that's more obedient to you. And Lord, also call sinners to yourself. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I said, we pick up Joshua here at the edge of the promised land, the land that God had promised his people. And for Joshua and the people, the land was seen as a rest from their wandering. And Hebrews tells us this is a reflection or a picture for us, the people of God, of the rest that we look forward to in heaven. In the military, we use the acronym BLUFF. Anybody ever heard of it before? Means bottom line up front. And for Joshua, the bottom line up front is here, that you're to look forward to the rest that God has for you and the people in the promised land. But you can't forget the commission, to fulfill the commission that God has on his life now. And so the bottom line up front for us, so we look forward to that rest, that ultimate rest we have in heaven. We can't forget, we must fulfill the great commission that God has for us today. You know, we get scared, and I think the passage shows us here that Joshua had some fear, because three times God tells him to be strong and courageous. So I sense that Joshua had some type of fear. And maybe when you think of your life, you are overcome by fear when you think about the mission that God has given to you. Maybe you're weighed down by the fact that maybe you're inadequate for the task that God has placed in front of you. Or maybe even the circumstances of your life have got you down and make you think you can't complete it. Maybe it's that sin that holds on to your life. Or maybe it's even a lack of faith. In 1993, Special Operations Command had sent soldiers over to Mogadishu, Somalia. And while there, a Black Hawk helicopter went down. And you guys have maybe seen the story or read the book. I served with a few of those guys that were there. In order to restore order there, after that incident, the military sent in a contingent, a large contingent of United States Marines, which one of my good friends, Steve Porter, was one of. He was a young Marine just out of boot camp, and this was his first assignment. He got on a ship, and they sent him right over there. He gets off the ship, and they're walking and patrolling down the streets of Mogadishu, and crack, fire, received contact. And in his fear, he hid and got down behind a car. And he didn't even understand what was going on. He just was gripped by fear that he was hiding until a good Marine sergeant got up to him and said, "Fire back! Fire back!" He was so gripped by fear, he forgot what his mission was to do. What was his mission? And it took that good Marine Corps sergeant to get his attention and wake him up. And I think here God, in the same way, is telling Joshua, don't be gripped by fear, but to complete the mission that I've called you to do. And so I think in this passage, God gives us three ways in which to complete our purpose of fulfilling our commission, the Great Commission. Number one, found in verses 1 through 7, that God has raised you up. You have been raised up by the Lord for the purpose of preaching the gospel. You have been raised up by the Lord for the purpose of preaching the gospel. We look at Joshua's life and how God prepared him for ministry. Think about how as a young man, he had become Moses' assistant and helping govern the people. And how he went up on, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he went along with him halfway up and was there ministering to Moses. And how he was picked as one of the 12 to go over into the promised land, and one of the only two that came back with a good report that the land was takeable. Think about how he was used to lead the army when Moses held up the banner before the people. And how he helped Moses in leading the people through the wilderness. And now he stands at the cusp of the promised land, and God has used all these things to shape and mold him. And now God's telling him to go and take the people into the promised land. Look at verse 3 and 4. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, and toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." Now this promise didn't start with Moses. Remember how God promised Abraham this land. And now God is sending Joshua. He's going to be the instrument which God uses to take this land. And God says in verse 5 that there's nobody, that no one will stand in his way. Sure, there's going to be giants and walled cities and superior weapons, but God had raised Joshua up for this purpose, to conquer the land and deliver his people into that promised land of rest. And in the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ was raised up for the purpose to win our salvation. He was sent to earth to lead us into that promised land, and how God raised him up and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew in his obedience through suffering. And in his flesh, he grew to understand his purpose more and more. Think about how Christ understood his purpose and how he set his eyes on Jerusalem. And what was Jerusalem but the cross? And how God had molded him and shaped him to do that purpose of winning our salvation. And Jesus did suffer. He said in the garden, he said, "Lord, Father, if this cup is to pass, let it pass. But not my will, your will be done." And so Christ came to win our salvation. And praise God, he did that. Before he ascended into heaven, Christ commissioned his disciples in Matthew 28. He said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. And then go therefore and make disciples of all nations." See, God had led his people into that promised land, but that was just a small little chunk, little land mass on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea. But God told his disciples, "You're not going to just stay here. You're going to go to all the earth and make disciples." And that's our call today. We're called for that purpose, to go and make disciples of all nations. And maybe you feel weak and scared, or you're not feeling strong and courageous. Maybe you feel like maybe you don't have something to offer to ministry. Maybe you don't think you're smart. Maybe you don't have the right schooling. Maybe life's really busy right now. Maybe things at work are tough. Schooling. Maybe you think you're too young, or maybe I'm retired and I'm tired. But people of God, there's no valid excuse. We are called for the purpose to preach the gospel wherever we go. This isn't just for preachers and teachers, but this is for all God's people. It's true that not all are called to be evangelists, but all of us are called to give a reason for the hope that's within us. So God has raised you up. Be like the Joshua of old and Jesus, our second Joshua, and follow Christ. I want to encourage you to think about your own life. They talk about in organizations about mission drift. You heard this term before, where a organization tends to, after a while, and starts thinking and going down different rabbit trails, they tend to drift from what their intended purpose was. I want you to think about your own life. Have you been drifting from that purpose to disciple the nations? That's not only true for us as individuals, but us as a church. I want to encourage you to seize the opportunities that God has given you. Do you know that God has made you and developed you in a way that no one else has been? You have opportunities that no one else might have to preach the gospel. Think about the interests of the things you like to do, areas of influence you might be a part of. Think about some of you who are serving the youth, some of you serving in urban areas, serving the youth. You have different education backgrounds, different service, part of different families. So think about how you can be used of God in those different areas of interest. You can go where no one else can go. I also want to think about our own congregation, how we have been given such a great opportunity to serve Christ's kingdom. God has placed us right here on the edge of a college campus with tremendous opportunity to serve people that are in their college years. We have foreign students among us. Think about our city of Beaver Falls. How can we be used by God to proclaim the gospel in this city and surrounding areas? You know, there's ups and downs in ministry. Some things we try, they fail. Some things work and some things don't. But remember that God, that Christ said to his disciples, "All authority has been given to me." He has won the battle, but we're to go forward and wage the war. We're to make disciples of all nations. And you know, God uses, maybe you don't think he can use you, but God uses the most unlikely of people and tools. Think about how he used the idolater Abraham, the murderer Moses, and the adulterer David, a former slave like Joshua, a denier of Christ like Peter, a persecutor of the church like Paul, And He's using people like you and me. So beloved people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, be strong and courageous. And let's fulfill our purpose of teaching and preaching to all the nations of the earth. I think secondly, this passage gives us and tells us to do is to rely on the provision the Lord has provided for us. Rely on the provision the Lord has provided for us. And that's seen in verse 7 and 8. All the law of Moses, my servant commanded you, do not turn from it from the right hand to the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then your way will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, God gives us the provision we need. If you send out an army into battle, you have to think about all the ways in which to supply them what they need. Think about all the food and bullets and ammunition and fuel for their vehicles. And so when you plan for a mission, you think about how they're going to be sustained in that mission. And what does God say here? What is that provision He's given us? He's given us the Word of God. He's given Joshua the Word of God to rely on. Yeah, Joshua's going to go into battle, but he says, you must first and foremost commit yourself to doing and obeying the Word of God. I've been in a lot of mission briefings where they've sent us into battle, and I've never had a commander say to me, you know what, we're going to go take on a really strong enemy. These guys are scary. Trust the Word of God. But that's what God's telling you here today. Trust His Word. And who were they? They were slaves, former slaves and nomadic people. They've been wandering in the wilderness. I'm sure their weapons were old and rusty. And who were the people in the land? But they had fortified cities, big walls, probably the modern weaponry. And God doesn't tell Joshua to go train the people with the sword and the bow, but rather He tells them to pay attention and know the law of the Lord. The walls of the city fell, the cities were conquered, but clearly this wasn't due to the arm and the might of the people of Israel. Do you guys remember the story? Joshua, they pass over the land in chapter 5. They go over the Jordan River, and they're on the cusp of taking Jericho. And the angel of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army is there. And Joshua asks the question, are you for me or against me? Are you for us or against us? And basically the angel says to Joshua, that's the wrong question. The reality is, are you for me? Because the Lord is the one to win the battle. So are we for the Lord? The Lord reminds Joshua that you need to obey the Scripture. And that's what he needs to lead the people. And what does the Scripture teach? The Scripture teaches that the people are in need of a Savior. That they're a sinful people. And that God has given them a great deliverance. And what do we have to boast? What do the people of God, the Israelites, have to boast in their deliverance from Egypt? Nothing. And the same thing for us. What do we have to boast about our deliverance from our sin? And then it also gives Joshua and the people of God the means to know how to live. See, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ used. Remember in His temptation in the wilderness when Satan comes to Him and says, turn this rock into bread. And Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, it didn't take long for Israel to lose her way. If you remember in the book of Judges, it says that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. They forgot the law of God. They began to look more like the world. And so today in the church, are we starting to look like the world? A Gallup poll in 2017 said that 35% of all Protestants don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Staggering number. It's no wonder that the church has been so ineffective in its ministry, and that we have been so ineffective in our ministry. Brothers and sisters, I ask you, are you stagnant in your walk with the Lord? Have you been finding that your ministry has become fruitless? Are you desiring to see souls won to Christ and for His kingdom? I say here with God, commit yourself to knowing and doing the Scripture. Commit yourself to living out the Word of God. I ask you to do these things. Commit yourself to doing all that is written in the Scripture. Look at verse 7. Do according to, be careful to do, right? So do the Word of God. According to all that is written in the Word of God. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on God's law day and night. That should be our thoughts. Our thoughts should be encapsulated in the Scripture. Do you find yourself not thinking about the Word of God? Let me just give you a couple things to think about, a couple practical applications I know from my own experience. It says here to meditate on the Lord's law day and night. Get up early in the morning and read the Bible. Get up more in the morning and read the Bible. Oftentimes, college students, I've been there, you find that, hey, I can get 15 more minutes of sleep. But really, that 15 more minutes of sleep isn't worth giving up your time with God to knowing and loving His law. And then secondly, put away the screens. Put away the screens. They can be such a distraction in our life. And they could be. That's what we're meditating on. See, our ministries must be based on the Word of God. And the Word of God helps us understand the problems of our world. It helps us break down the idols of our culture. It helps us to understand the moral failures that we are surrounded by. And most importantly, the Bible provides the answers to a lost and dying world in the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, we are the church militant. It's not that we pick up a sword or a gun, but rather we pick up the Word of God and we go out and wage war against this world. We look forward to that church triumphant, that time where we'll be in heaven. We deal with these things no longer. But right now, we're in a battle. And God has called you to that task of preaching the gospel everywhere, using His means. So brothers and sisters, be strong and courageous and rely on the provision the Lord has given to you in His Word. And lastly, take comfort in the presence of God. Take comfort in the Lord's presence. See, Moses had died, and Joshua could be scared, fearful. This is his mentor in the faith. But God says in verse 5 and 9, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. In verse 9, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. It's not going to be easy all the time. You're going to go into battle in the land. People are going to die. The people are going to lose in battles. The people of God are going to rebel against you and me. But remember that He is with you. He is by your side. Much like the disciples, remember, Jesus is getting ready to leave after His death and resurrection to ascend into heaven. And He says to His disciples, Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The presence of the Lord is with you. Another military illustration, but in 2008 I was deployed to Iraq. And if you know anything about medevac helicopters come in when we have injured or wounded in battle. Well, they come in without any armament. They have no guns. But they come along, what comes alongside them are two Apache helicopters. If you've ever seen an Apache helicopter, they have Hellfire missiles and big machine guns and everything. And we called in this a medevac helicopter. This medevac helicopter comes in, lands, and two Apache helicopters go up and fly around the area, providing security. They had the presence of those helicopters to provide safety. Well, you have much more than that, people of God. You have the presence of Almighty God, the One who has made all things, and nothing is out of His control. Times may be difficult. We might have setbacks in our ministry. We might be dealing with difficult people. Maybe you have a strained marital relationship. Maybe your kids are giving you difficulty at home. Maybe you're having times of no fruit. In Jesus, He has suffered the way we have suffered. He was rejected by people. And He knows our weaknesses. But ultimately, He was rejected for our sake, that we might be right with His Father. God says, be strong and courageous. Take comfort, for His presence is with you. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, to remember that you have been raised by God for a purpose of preaching the gospel to all nations, and that He promises to give you the provision you need in His Word to complete that task, and that He promises that He won't leave you or forsake you. Be reminded of the Great Commission on your life, Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a better way to come to the table today, renewed in our zeal to proclaim Christ until He comes again. Amen.